Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Personalization Outbreak Podcast. In today's episode, we'll be discussing the latest strategies being used by corporate leaders to win the talent war. Our guest today is Bernadette Finken, Head of Talent Acquisition at Best Buy US. With over 20 years of experience in strategic human resources, including roles in technology, HR, workforce administration, employee relations, and talent acquisition, Bernadette has been instrumental in helping Best Buy attract exceptional and diverse talent across various roles and geographies. Now, together, we're going to be discussing how to redefine your talent acquisition strategy to attract the best candidates and find out what methods are working for both job seekers and employers. So before we get started, please click the like button below, share it with your colleagues, and subscribe to our YouTube channel and social media at Glenn Yopis. Let's get started.
Join us at the Healthcare in the Age of Personalization virtual conference on May 3 to 4.
Two massive shifts are happening in healthcare simultaneously, a shift to value and a shift in demographics.
We're bringing together some of today's top healthcare executives, patients, and practitioners to discuss how to provide better care and experiences in today's age of personalization.
I think we have to change the definition of health. We have to think about the social and economic and educational outcomes as well as the health outcomes.
Learn from experts in consumerism and healthcare, inclusive patient care systems, population health, and much more.
So it's not just the person with the diagnosis, it's what's around them, their family, their friends, and that is part of their whole being.
Register now and get free access to the Leadership in the Age of Personalization course at Lightspeed Virtual Training. Join us today at healthcaresummit.ageofpersonalization.com.
You are listening to Personalization Outbreak, a podcast about the collapse of traditional corporate standards in today's more personalized world. I'm Glenn Yopis. I'm a leadership strategist, author, contributor to Forbes, and founder of the Leadership in the Age of Personalization movement. On this show, I'm interviewing executives across multiple sectors to find out how the balance between standardization and personalization can exist. Bernadette, thank you so much for your time today and welcome to the show.
Thanks, Glenn. I'm super excited to be here today and talk a little bit about talent.
Well, you know, that's the news of the day, right? In fact, funny you brought that up. I mean, my organization just did a survey among senior executives across healthcare and corporate America, and they said that their number one concern this year, and I'm going to read this, talent has the upper hand. People can go where they want, and they need to re-recruit their people. I mean, when you hear that, what is the magnitude of the moment now, Bernadette?
Yeah, I mean, I would say I agree. In the last couple of years, we've been facing this challenge. So, you know, the war for talent, the great resignation. I mean, we've heard all the buzz lines. And over the last 2 years, we've really had to transform what it's like to be a recruiter and how to find the best talent and help them fall in love with your company so they want to join the organization and build a career here.
And hopefully we could fall in love with them too.
For sure.
Absolutely. Right? So that in the end, because you know today in today's talent world, they want the employer to make them that they matter. So we'll talk about that a little bit later, but let's start with what is the role of a talent recruiter? How has it changed in the past 3 years, Bernadette?
Yeah. Well, you'll actually hear the language even change in the industries. Yeah. You'll see more organizations referring to the recruiters as talent advisors, right?
Right.
And the reason for that is we really need our recruiters to be more advisory in their services. So I think in the past, we were often more order takers, right? Where a leader had a need for a role or to fill a role, they would come to us, fill out their order, and we would deliver their order like a fast food business, right? But what we're finding is it's a lot more complicated than that, right? Oftentimes we've got to get ahead of the talent needs before we need the talent. So We're having quarterly business reviews with our senior executives to take a look at their talent in general for their business and saying, where do we need to do some pipelining? Where do we need to do some proactive sourcing? Let's talk about your early talent. What are you thinking about for your internship programs this year? Let's talk about brand. What is the brand for your function at Best Buy externally? And how can we utilize some of our brand team members to really elevate how you're seen in the marketplace? So it's a much more strategic role, both I think in the big things as well as some of the little things, the everyday things. So I'll give you another example. You know, in the past, a hiring leader would come to us, they'd give us this long job description. This is who I need, right? This is the person I need. And we would post that job description essentially and pray that the right person would find us, right, for that role. And that has completely shifted, where we as recruiters need to be better writers and actually write an advertisement for that job, not a lengthy job description, but an advertisement on, yes, what we're looking for, but also, why should you be interested? Why is this an exciting opportunity to come join Best Buy? So that takes a different skill, right? We're having to teach our recruiters how to write, how to think about it from a marketing perspective. Yeah. And we have a small brand team that kind of helps us, but does help us with that.
Yeah.
But it's very different, you know, than in the past, where we kind of take what the leader gives us and just go with it. So,
you know, I love this whole approach around being less about the job description and more about what excites somebody to want to come work for an organization.
Absolutely.
Because what you're doing, as I'm understanding you, is you're putting them in the center of what's possible once they join the organization. Am I getting that right?
Absolutely. We call it human-centered design. It's a thing. It's what we do to build out our best-in-class processes throughout all of HR, not just in talent acquisition.
So with respect to skills and experiences, what do you believe are most effective for an effective recruiter today? I mean, what kind of experiences and experiences do they need? And what has been the maturity curve for the function?
Yeah. So I think in the past, it was more about the technical skills and how can you source and where can you source and kind of technically, how proficient are you as a recruiter? And now it's a lot more about those leadership skills. So kind of back to that recruiter versus talent advisor, that requires leading with influence, right? So our leaders don't always, you know, see that they need a talent advisor, right? They might, like the past where I give you my order and you deliver what I've ordered, right? And so that leading with influence is super, super critical. The other thing that I think is really critical is for recruiters to be able to learn specific businesses pretty quickly. So in the past, we'd often hire technical recruiters for technical recruiting. People who've done marketing recruiting, we'd hire for the marketing team. People who have done, you know, legal recruiting, we've hired for the legal team. And now, just with the way that the world is, our hiring has really ebbed and flowed in different ways than we've seen in the past across the company. So recruiters need to be a lot more business agnostic and need to be able to hop from one business to the other and quickly learn that business acumen and support the business based off of what their specific business needs are.
So that's Bernadette, what are some of the, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's a lot of change. So they have to be good at change too.
Well, that's kind of where I was going. What are some of maybe, know if it's bad, but maybe some habits that we need to unlearn as a recruiter?
Ooh, that's a good question. What are some habits we need to unlearn? I mean, I think probably the biggest one is really just assuming that filling an order as it exists initially is going to be what's going to make the hiring leader the happiest, right? It takes some courage and leading with influence to push back and say, wait, you know, I need 24 hours. I need 48 hours to take this job description and turn it into something fantastic as a job advertisement for you. Hiring leaders don't always want to hear that. So they're like, nope, I've got it on my schedule. This job is posting tomorrow. I promised my leader we'd have it on the website tomorrow. So for recruiters to be able to break that habit of just kind of giving in and saying, okay, this one time I'll just post this job description for you. It takes courage and it takes that leading with influence to say, trust me, you'll have such a better outcome if you give me 24 hours, give me 48 hours. I'll make this better. You know?
That kind of reminds me, Bernadette, of what's going on like an industry like healthcare. You know, in the past, we used to see as many patients as possible. Now it's about getting them in and out. And now it's about providing value to that patient. So it's not about getting them in and out. It's making sure that we have the time to do the right things and to serve that patient the right way. That's basically what you're saying, is that we're so quick to want to do things with a sense of urgency.
Yeah.
And sometimes we negate the quality that's going to eventually drive the outcome that we're seeking. And you're right, that's hard, especially when we were used to doing something a certain way. And now we have to take a different discipline and approach to get the quality and outcome that we desire. So what do candidates today? Because I know that today they're expecting a whole lot more from employers. What is it that they value most today in a job opportunity, Bernadette?
Well,
and how has that evolved over the past 2 to 3 years?
Good question. So I think what's remained consistent, and I think this will be forever consistent in my mind, is that people are looking to do the work they love for someone that they can connect to, a leader that they feel like will have their back and they can connect to, and money. Financial. I mean, we get competing offers and money actually matters, right? But what's been interesting in the last 2 to 3 years that that I see growing and continuing to evolve as a trend is really candidates looking into, you know, where Best Buy stands on social issues. So we've actually had candidates ask us for our ESG report. So ESG stands for environmental stewardship, social responsibility, and corporate governance. This is a 30-page report, right? That's public and external. But we have candidates that actually read this report and want to know where Best Buy stands on those issues. It's a big deal when they're choosing who they want to work for. You know, the other big thing is inclusion and diversity. You know, where is Best Buy in the inclusion and diversity maturity curve, right? And so candidates are watching, and it's important that we have diverse interview teams, that we show up in an inclusive way, that we ask candidates if they need any accommodations for the interview process. It matters how we show up and how they feel throughout the process.
Well, and these are, you know, areas that one can say both ESG and, you know, inclusion and diversity, they are within their own right in different maturity cycles, right? So it doesn't surprise me, but what it does, it makes us recognize that these issues matter to the candidate and they want real, tangible answers. So it goes back to that elevated expectation. So what can recruiters do, Bernadette, to personalize the recruitment process so that the candidate feels that you not only care about what matters to them, but also their careers?
Absolutely. So one of the things that we've been doing more and more of is actually spending and investing time helping candidates prep for their interviews.
Good.
And in the past, this would almost be seen as like giving candidates the answer to the test. And why would they do that? You know, one of the things we want to test them on is whether or not they can prepare for an interview. But the reality is very few roles actually need the skill or a top skill is thinking on your feet or a great interviewer, right? So you could have an amazing interviewer who's a terrible engineer. You could have a terrible interviewer who's an amazing engineer, right? So Our thought process is let's level the playing field and let's give our candidates the tools and the information and the prep that they need so that each candidate can really have, again, back to inclusion, an inclusive experience that is more fair, because studies show that if you do that, you can actually remove some bias from the system because you're leveling the playing field. It doesn't matter if you've had a background and experience with millions of interviews in your past or one interview in your past, right? This also is very helpful for candidates with disabilities who might need an accommodation and are afraid to speak up. And as we prep them for their interview, they're able to speak out and speak up on what type of accommodations they might need throughout the process. So this is something we're investing more and more in. We actually have a project this year and how we better our tools and our processes and our consistency with that. But it really, I believe makes candidates feel like we care about them and their development, not just whether or not they get this job.
You know, that's so forward thinking, because what it does, and you said it, it brings that level of equality, but it does it from a place of everyone's starting from the same point. And so, again, no one has any added benefit than the other. And like you said, it gives people an opportunity to really showcase, regardless of their experiences or potential limitations or points of view and perspectives. Now, if you could just give us a quick understanding, how do you do this? I mean, how do you prepare them for the interview? Just at a high level. Is it something you send them in advance, or is it a preliminary discussion? What is that?
Yeah. So a couple of things. One is providing candidates detailed information on who they're meeting with, right? So whether it's bios or links to their LinkedIn profile, help them study the people that they're actually going to be meeting with so that they don't, when they show up for an interview, not know who they're speaking with.
Got it.
But the second thing is really sharing with them our approach, some of the things that we're going to ask about, some of the things for them to think about, and giving just general tips on best practices from an interview perspective. You know, here's some of the examples you're going to want to have ready, because these are some of the questions that are going to be asked. Make sure that you have questions for the interviewers so that they know that you're curious and you can listen. And that's just as important as having a good interview answer. And at the end of the day, my best and favorite advice is be yourself, right? I think you and I talked about this before we started recording, but the best advice truly is to not try to imagine what everybody else on that interview team wants you to be, but truly getting the candidate to a place where they feel comfortable being themselves, authentically themselves, because that's where you find the best match and the best long-term success with any job or any company.
You know what I like about this? It takes away that feeling that a candidate needs to be with the organization or wants them to be, rather than what they seek to be themselves. And I think this goes back to this human-centered designed approach. So I like it. I think that's great. That's actually quite inspiring, to be honest with you. I really think that people would really, regardless of what the outcome, you actually are preparing them for future things and what they can expect from others. So what types of interview questions, and I'm very curious about this one, what types of interview questions truly reveal a prospective candidate's skills or capabilities or even their qualifications for it?
Yeah. So when people talk about skills, most often they think about functional skills. So again, going back to the engineering example, testing them for their engineering skills or what language they use or how they design something, right? Which is part of every interview for sure, and is required, but is very different for every role. In addition to that, I mean, what we feel is most important is, again, being able to understand the type of leader every individual is, whether you have people reporting to you or not, how you show up, the team player that you are. But so we have really four big categories that we focus on here at Best Buy. We call them the four Qs. One is called the emotional quotient. And that's really about the ability of a candidate to really leverage their social, emotional skills to understand people's strengths, work with others, create a culture of belonging. So in that category, you'll see questions around change leadership, resilience, continuous learning. The second big skill is adaptability. So this is, you know, people's ability to lead, adapt, thrive in a time of uncertainty and change. So some of the questions you'll see there around how they develop talent, communication, cross-cultural collaboration, storytelling. The third bucket is intelligence quotient. So just people's ability to reason, cognitive thinking, learning, how quickly you can learn experiences to one's role. So some of the questions there you'll see focused on business acumen, making decisions using insight, strategic leadership. And then the fourth big bucket is technology. So, you know, we believe that technology is super critical in every role at Best Buy. And so just the adaptability or the ability to adapt to different, digital means and fluency and just how to thrive in a digital economy. So that one evolves per role. So if you're sure. hiring a recruiter, for example, you might ask questions about the applicant tracking system that we use. You know, if you're hiring someone in procurement, for example, there might be a question about the systems they use. So those are kind of the four big buckets and how we structure our questions.
So Bernadette, as we wrap it up, and grateful for your time today, what would you advise your peers in talent acquisition? Because, you know, in the past, we used to see everybody as at least those that we did business against as our competitors. But I think now we're trying to form communities of thought leadership, an incubation of innovative ways that we can evolve and change the ways we've done things in the past. What would you advise one of your peers to do that are stuck with their talent acquisition strategies and don't know how to make these adaptations like you and Best Buy have done?
Right. I mean, you nailed it. It's connect with other people. And that's really what I've done in the last couple of years, connected with my peers in the industry. So I'm part of multiple different groups in the industry. I'm part of a group with retail organizations. You know, we're a heavy user and client of LinkedIn. So LinkedIn has a focus group for all heads of talent acquisition and meet regularly. I mean, that really is where I listen and learn and ask questions and share and try to get messy and figure it out together. And you're right. The attitude is very much, how can we help each other? And instead of, you know, the competition, like it's kind of been in the past. So,
Well, that's great. And, you know, it's great for you to have shared your insights and wisdom today. Very appreciative, because we're all in search of not just answers, but more so the questions, right? Because we're in very much an exploratory phase of reinvention. And you've certainly provided us some extraordinarily valuable insights. We're so grateful to have you on the show today. Thank you, Bernadette.
Thank you, Glenn. Thank you for inviting me. I had a lot of fun. Appreciate
it. Great. Likewise. And as we always end the show, when you meet in the age of personalization, you will see things that others don't, do what others won't, and keep pushing when prudence says quit. Thank you, Bernadette.
Thanks, Glenn.
Thanks for listening to Personalization Outbreak. Make sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. If you enjoyed the content, visit ageofpersonalization.com to check out our free streaming video series and learn how to get involved in the movement. I'm Glenn Yopis. I wish you a good day. And remember, without strategy, change is merely substitution, not evolution.